So you're saying the antidote to despair is action and not just doom scrolling on social media? What?
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought that actually putting yourself out there and trying to be part of the solution could maybe make you feel a little bit more empowered?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Hello, Waukesha. Hello, Richland Center, Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, Wausau, Amory, and Madison tonight. Jane, how are you doing?
I am excellent. It's Friday, and it is a perfect September day.
The last day of September.
I know.
Goodbye, September.
Yep.
Hello, Q4.
Yeah, Q4. We're having a big party tonight.
Yeah, for those of us who ever worked in sales, who think about the world in quarters.
It's Q4 Eve.
I hope all those salespeople out there, I hope you close your numbers out for the quarter. I hope you get that bonus before you go back to zero on Monday.
Yeah. Have a good weekend.
All right. Well, it is Friday, TGIF. It's been a week. And what we're doing on Fridays these days is recapping Wisconsin headlines, specifically Wisconsin political headlines, because sometimes in the middle of the week, we have guests, we have other plans, we don't always get to the breaking news of the big headlines, and because sometimes we let everyone else huff and puff about it, and then we have cool, calm, collected takes at the end of the week. And I know this guy is cool, calm, and collected. Our guest for this hour is the guy who makes everything at Civic Media run. Maybe not everything, but
just about
everything. A lot of things.
I do a lot of stuff.
He does a lot of stuff. He's a producer. He's a electrician. He's a fixer of things. He's a host of Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. He's Brian half of Luke and Brian.
Every now and then I'm there.
You actually held the show by yourself yesterday.
Yeah, we had a fun talk. It was good.
It was just you, just talking to yourself?
I had a couple callers. It was good.
But our guest is Brian Kelly, is here with me for the hour. Hello, sir.
Hi. How's it going, everyone?
How you doing?
I'm great.
I'm
going to be heading off right to another place that we're going to be expanding to. So your list of things is going to be bigger.
My list of cities to list off?
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
Eventually, we're just going to say all of Wisconsin.
Yeah. So when I start the show, I just say, hello, Wisconsin. It'll be actually correct.
Yeah. I'm planting the seeds that will grow into a larger, liberal takeover of Wisconsin, just like everybody has been worried about.
Yes, we're just really on the wrong course because those liberals that have all of the power in this state.
We said, well, you know what? Why don't we just do the thing that they're worried about? So, all right. Hooray for us.
All right. So many places to start.
I know. There's so many things that have happened. And it's a veritable storm of... But like my daughter likes to say, it's a hurricane of problems. And by the way, that's no insensitive to the folks who are dealing with a literal hurricane right now in Florida.
Yes.
My goodness.
I did not actually see any more footage or if any more updates besides what I started to see yesterday. But it got classified, it re-upped as a hurricane now and not just a tropical storm. So
no matter what, it's all messed up. Mother Nature just doesn't care.
However does not care about your feelings.
Yeah, does not. If you ever read any of the Shogun series, that's pretty much the end of every book. Is, well, I don't know how to end this, so big giant tsunami, everybody's dead.
Well, and I think that whenever I think about climate change, it's like Mother Earth's going to be fine. We're the ones who will expire because we will no longer be able to inhabit the earth, but she'll do just fine without us. But someone who has said on record that climate change is BS, but I can't say it on the radio, is our senior senator Ron Johnson.
Yes.
He's actually a year ago, there was CNN released a video of him talking to an audience that was laughing, and he said, I don't know about you guys, but I think climate change is, as Lord Monckton said, bull. And then he mouthed the expletive. He couldn't even bring himself to actually say the end of that phrase.
That's all right.
But then he said in a statement after I think the video was released, my statements are consistent. I'm not a climate change denier, but I also am not a climate change alarmist. Climate is not static. It is always change and will always change, which is wrong. There is overwhelming scientific evidence that climate change, the climate crisis is man-made. And I'd also love, before we get to the news that happened this week about this, that's the background. I love that he wouldn't, in an audience of peers or like people who were supporting him, I love that he wouldn't say the full phrase, that he had to mouth it. It reminds me of the people who still think saying "Let's go, Brandon" is like getting away with something.
Yeah.
It's you know, you can just say it, right? Like that's actually what the First Amendment protects, is that you can criticize and curse at our president, you know, and you're not going to get arrested.
When you're not a snowflake, you are totally. I don't get that. I don't get it at all. I find it childish, but you know, I find the whole thing childish. But that's just me.
So anyway, so fast forward to this week, and there is a 6-foot statue made of manure of Ron Johnson touring the state.
Yeah. It's climate change activists.
The next gen pack, yep. And move on. They hosted events around Madison with, it's an 80-pound statue.
It's 180-pound statue.
So I'm sorry, they're calling it
statue. It's a statue. And it's a 180-pound statue.
And it's 180 pounds?
Yes. And the quote was, what's the difference between Ron Johnson and a 180-pound statue of manure of Ron Johnson? And the answer is about 4 pounds.
I mean, I appreciate the joke.
It's not my joke.
Sometimes from the activist wing, you never know how much they're good at using humor, and that's a pretty good one.
I'm telling you, activists need to employ people like me when I have time. Absurdists, things that like. A while back, the guy who did Cards Against Humanity had everybody mail potatoes to Ron Johnson.
I remember that.
And, you know, Ron Johnson sidestepped and just, you know, had a P.O. box or whatever, you know, and then they just forwarded, and then they just a bunch of potatoes there. But I thought, I like those type of absurdist things, trying to get at people like that.
Yeah. Well, so this happened this week, and I mean, I guess it's one of those things where it's something that creates publicity. I think my first instinct is like, really? This is the best that we got? But it creates publicity, and if any publicity is good publicity, we're here talking about it now. There's an article in HuffPo.
Hour event last night.
And so, I don't know, but does it change anyone's mind?
No.
So
I mean,
it's
the
just
people that are
going
to go there are like, you know, F. Ron Johnson anyway, but I'd like to see, it's funny to see a statue.
I mean, it's pretty, I actually, to be fair to the artist who created it, they did a pretty good job considering the material they were using.
Yeah, and I got to say, you know, that's a commitment to go and use that material. And to get that detail out of that material is, again, a commitment. Because, again, do you have to keep it a certain level of moisture? I'm assuming it's not as mutable as clay, you know, because, I mean.
Well, they added some resin to it, apparently. And so maybe that makes it a little bit stickier.
Okay. Yeah,
and
say,
how you mold
like
it. Because if you look at the picture that was posted, I mean, it's posted on a lot of different things. Like I said, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel obviously did an article about it in different Wisconsin outlets. But the fact that it got national coverage is like, all right, well, like, shock value, I guess. And so people actually talked about it. I still don't necessarily think it's not my cup of tea. But
you notice how we're not going, is it offensive at all? Because, again, the guy, you know, pretended to use a cell phone when
I can see that you're not talking to anyone.
And then he didn't even bother continuing going, well, I'll talk to you later. He just went, and put his hand down. Just a ridiculous human being. And the thing is, like, he used to come into the Devil's Advocates when I was producing all the time, right? And before Trump, he would come in and disagree and things like that. And then Trump came along and he would still disagree. Like, and in between commercials, he'd say, you know, this guy's kind of ridiculous, but we're trying to work things out. And I like the tax thing. And, you know, we talked about the taxes and we disagreed on taxes. And we disagreed on, but we still had the same reality. You know, that his take on climate change was, you know, all right, look, I'm not going to do anything drastic right now. But then it started getting a little bit crazier as it went on. And I noticed, I mean, the guy used to show up with a six pack. You know, his body guy was there. We talked. It was cordial. It was, we disagree, but we're cordial and we're you know, country club cordial type of thing. And somewhere after the July 4th going to Moscow, he started being different and saying a little bit more crazy stuff. And now, at this point, if I saw him on the street, I'd be like, who are you? What happened to you? I'm more... like, I mean, there are people like Marjorie Taylor Greene who have always been like a little bit, but Ron Johnson was actually, you know, disagreeable, yes, and would probably go and, you know, sell his mother for a little bit extra money. That's fine, but you know, that's but that's also, you agree that there's a mother and there's a price for your mother, and you can, you know, sell that. You know what I mean? It's not like, hey, COVID, everybody that scientific is telling you COVID gets fought this way, and he goes, oh, you can just gargle. Because people get mad about it, and he follows whatever he needs to do to stay in power. I don't get it.
Why not gargle?
Exactly. The guy has so much, he spreads so much misinformation, and I don't understand to what end or to what impetus, especially since he started off as a reasonable-ish kind of guy.
Well, it's interesting because I've talked to Bill Glauber about this from Journal Sentinel, and he says that he's always been like this. So it's interesting that you have a different take, that you feel like it's been curving.
I guess he cared more about the facade when I first met him. How about that?
Just like Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have a feeling that Aaron Rodgers was always as weird as he is now. He just wasn't as comfortable because he wasn't the king of the North. Well, yeah. And now that he's won 4 MVPs, he's like, I'm going to do what I want.
Well, it's after which, how many fiancés has he gone through? You know, at least just call them your girlfriend, man. Like, you know, it's fine. It's fine. They know. You know. And just be honest about it. But no, I've been immunized. Come on, dude. Just stand up and say, I'm like Kirk Cousins. Let's move on. He looks like Slippery Pete. You ever seen, remember that episode of Seinfeld, Slippery Pete? The Russian guy, he plays everything. Anyway, he looks like Slippery Pete.
I'll look it up at the commercial. All right, well, in that case, we are going to go to commercial. And when we come back, it's the most expensive race in the country. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, Jay Madnair on the board, TGIF. Our guest this hour is actor, improviser, funny man, great Russian accent.
Well, I sometimes do. I had to play, I had to speak Russian for a while in a little play I did for a year.
It helps that you're 6'5 and shop at the big and tall, because you also just look like you could throw someone out of a club real fast.
Yeah, and the thing is, I look larger and stuff like that, but I've been taken out by somebody a third my size. You know,
well,
my buddy,
jiu-jitsu.
It was a lot of momentum using. Like, I ran at him and he just kind of threw me over. He's one of my best friends and the guy I would have in my back in a fight. But that's a longer story.
That's a different story, because we only got 8 minutes in this segment, so we're going to keep talking. But we're with Brian Kelly all hour. We're talking about some of the political headlines out of Wisconsin this week. And as of this morning, what would you do with $55 million? Jane, what would you do? Both of you can answer.
I have a plan for a theater that I want to build. So if anyone has a couple million dollars that want to throw at me, I mean, I've built a bunch of radio stations. I can build a theater.
Fair.
And I can. I have a line with a bunch of people in Chicago that are really talented and stuff, and here that are really talented. So I can shuffle through a bunch of stuff. I have an idea.
All right.
I could still probably have money left over.
Probably.
I'm still going with my plan of buying North Dakota and fencing it off and turning it into the world's largest refuge for animals.
I love that you think that North Dakota is that cheap.
Well, What's there? There's trees. Some.
The second most amount of bars per capita after Wisconsin. I know that.
We'll move them to South Dakota.
Well, I think like when they were building the pipeline up there, they were like, they're trying to get McDonald's workers up there. They're offering like 20 plus an hour plus a free HD TV and a bunch of other things for signing on to work at McDonald's up there. Just because they needed people to get there.
We need people.
My first job 40 years ago, my first offer came from a radio station in Botno, North Dakota, which is almost in Montana and almost in Canada.
Wow.
Yeah, that
you
was
did not take it?
That was such a lure. Yeah, no.
He actually
threw out at me, there's a school of forestry nearby.
That's a big
that was the draw.
It's called the forest.
All right, well, I threw that number out because that has how much money has been spent since the August primary in our gubernatorial race between the two sides.
Oh, my God.
$55 million, making it the most expensive general election in the country, which kind of surprised me because, one, I think we talked earlier this week that while right now our U.S. Senate campaign has run the most ads so far, like something around 14,000.
My God.
The gubernatorial Wisconsin race was third in how many ads it's run after Florida and Texas. So I'm a little surprised that Wisconsin has spent more, is outspending Tony Evers and Mike Tim Michaels are outspending Greg Abbott and Beto O'Rourke. But here we are.
That's insane.
In the Senate race, a total of $89 million. Well, so that must be the most expensive gubernatorial race because a total of $89 million has been dropped in the Senate race since the August primary.
Yeah.
And
it's basically you're spending almost $200 million or less to go and basically have ads argue with each other during your football games. That's what happens, at least in the Milwaukee
market. Is there anything else that money goes towards? Besides media buys?
If you're going to place it in during a like nationally televised football game, and even if it's a regional buy, you're still spending, you know, they're not going to go, oh, it's political.
But it's like, when you raise that much money, does it go? I mean, obviously, staff gets paid something, but not a lot.
Oh, yeah.
What is the budget breakdown for campaigns? And is it. If someone knows, if someone has actually worked on a campaign that knows like what the percentages, obviously how big the budgets are changes, but I would love to know, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789, because I would love to know what the percentage breakdown is per category, typically, on a major campaign like this.
I wonder if any of them have been really audited.
I have no idea.
Because, again...
I mean, they have to, everyone's like... Shantia Lewis got... I mean, that was at an alderman's...
Wisconsin. They changed the entire way that we do business with third-party groups because Governor Walker was being investigated in the John Doe investigation, so they just changed the law and said burn the records instead, just so they can continue doing what... Like, we're the only state in the country that has different laws about in-state running with and coordinating with third-party groups because Scott Walker said so.
I wasn't living here during that point.
You should. That's a long story. We don't have the time to get John Doe investigation. That was Scott Walker and Michael Gableman comes up in that too because he was.
You got 2 minutes. How fast can you recap that story?
Oh, that's so long. All right, so
90 seconds.
All right, I'm not gonna get. Look it up. Get into it. Actually, honestly, you know who can do that for you in probably an entire day is Mike Crute because he's got an elevator speech that can turn it. He's got that whole thing.
He got the whole thing down.
Yes, and I don't want to misquote anything in the next 90 seconds or next 30 seconds or 60 seconds, whatever it is. Time has no meaning for me anymore. Did you know that?
Which is weird because working in radio, you kind of have to be aware of what the time is.
Yeah, but you said October's tomorrow, and I know that the third is on Monday, but I had no idea that tomorrow was October. Even though the math, if I ever thought about it, was. That tomorrow's the first.
The years keep coming and they don't stop coming.
Sharp as a sack of wet mice, this guy. Good thing I'm running point on this whole expansion.
All right, well, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. And when we come back, we're going to talk about whether or not someone should or should not step down. And also, don't text things if you're in public office. This is As Goes Wisconsin. As goes Wisconsin on this beautiful fall Friday, the last day of September. Oh, we're getting into the fall. We're getting to the end of 2021. We're getting so much closer to the election. So the conversations around these political ads will be over. But the politics won't end because this is Wisconsin. And 6 months after November, we will have the Supreme Court elections. So we never really get a reprieve in this state, as for those who pay attention to every election, which you should. You should pay attention to every election.
Yeah, funny enough, our Supreme Court justices are elected.
Because elections are supposed to have consequences in that often when we elect a new governor, there are certain positions that are not elected. They are appointed by the governor. Except in our state, over the last the first term of Tony Evers, he appointed a lot of people, and a lot of them did not get
not even approval.
Did not get approved by the legislature, including I think probably the person who's gotten the most attention out of refusing to step down from his seat.
Yeah, the figurehead of pigheadedness.
Yes, is Fred Prehn. Who has been a controversial figure in the natural resources world because he has refused to leave the board of the DNR.
Yeah, and he coordinated with the Senate to make sure that that happened.
Yes, and
because it's a fun catch-22 here in Wisconsin.
And it went to court. It was upheld by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which ruled that he could remain in his seat unless the governor could find a cause to remove him. Even though, so the governor did appoint someone else, that never got approved, so he never sat down, never stepped down. And you know what? Actually, before we, so now we're doing your show. Slight tangent. Do you know what Prehn's day job is?
He's a dentist. I want to be
a gun store owner.
Oh,
because those two go hand in hand.
I'm gonna shoot your tooth.
When I read that, I was like, a dentist and a gun store owner.
On the DNR board.
I'm sure he has all of our best interests in
mind. I don't know where the Venn diagram of those things. I guess maybe a little bit
done. Serial killer.
Gun with.
I'm just throwing it, allegedly.
Hunting with DNR makes more sense. But yeah. So anyways.
By the way, most hunters want the wildlife preserved.
Oh, yeah.
Like actual real hunters want to like talk about harvesting the deer rather than I killed 15 things. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's the majority of hunters. Let's talk about that.
And I'm sorry. And actual hunters actually are the ones who are seeing the effect of climate change firsthand because they're the ones who are out in the woods.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, and they understand, and they're the ones closest to the nature.
Yeah. So he has said up until the story this week that broke, that his decision to remain on the board wasn't a political one. I think a lot of people are like, really? But then this week, there are released texts and emails that made it clear that partisan politics played basically the main role in the ongoing controversy. And
that's crazy how that happens.
And all I can think of, because everything's about me. All I can think of is this is why I could never be in public office.
Oh, I would lose my
mind. Because I am not a disciplined person.
No.
I can barely filter myself on the radio, let alone what I text my friends.
I'd have a GoFundMe for my fines for the swearing on the legislative board. I would stand up with is wrong with you?
Because, you know, the things that I just say to try to make my friends laugh should not be for public consumption. And so the fact that there would ever be a public records request for my text because I'd be in public office, I don't want to put myself in that position. However, as someone who is refusing to leave public office, he has put himself in that position. And there are now plenty of receipts of him basically LOLing his way of how he's never going to step down from the seat so long as Evers is governor.
So you're telling me that the legislature that, you know, before the governor even became the governor, before he even stepped into office, conspired with the outgoing governor to limit his powers in general, as well as the powers of the attorney general. The people that had a lame duck session and swept in less powers for the incoming governor because they didn't trust him. Those guys, you're saying that they made a political decision to hamstring how the government works underneath this said governor? Because it's not just Fred Prynne.
I know.
It's 150 appointees. And it's not stuff like, you know, these aren't all political appointments. Some of them are like Milwaukee Technical College. There was an article the other day. There were three of them that are just sitting there on the board, but they can't vote because they're sitting there kind of in training. How patronizing is that? While the people who are still sitting there from the Walker administration are continuing in their terms because the legislature refuses to even take up. They're not even voting yes or no up and down on these people. They're just not even taking it up. They're Mitch McConnelling their way to not doing anything and hamstringing the governor. And the stupid thing is, and this is what bothers the heck out of me more than anything, is that people who are voting for Republicans who are doing this, they are assuming that you are too dumb to know that they are hamstringing the governor to make sure he fails. They don't care whether your Milwaukee Area Technical College works. They don't care whether the water is on or not. They only care whether Evers loses or not, and that's it. They don't care about things working correctly. And 150 people sitting there because these lazy-ass SOBs don't go to work since March, and they can't even be bothered to say, no. You want to be political about it? You want to be a jerk about it? You want to hamstring the governor? Fine. Say no to everything. Show up,
be
do
on
your job, and be on record, and say no to everything. But they don't. And you know what? You know why they keep doing it? Because these idiots, and I have to say idiots, because they assume that you are an idiot because you don't know or don't care that the government doesn't work because of what they're doing, you still vote for them.
But whose responsibility is it then? Because I think about this a lot as far as, you know, I work in the media, and I can't even keep up sometimes. And Wisconsin's, like, we have slow news weeks.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of this stuff of how the government works is boring, right?
Yeah.
And so the sensationalist, like, it's a lot more fun to talk about a Ron Johnson poop machine or poop statue than
why we end up doing it in the first place.
Yes. And so the assumption that we should trust the government to just work, and the reason why there are, you know, because there's an argument of, should we have less elections and more appointments? Because putting the responsibility at the feet of voters to know all of these different positions, mm-hmm. what they do, and make informed voting choices is a lot to ask for people who are also living in a capitalist society who have to work a lot. And, you know, and so the responsibility of knowing what the superintendent of the Department of Education does, and so knowing why, I mean, so like the fact that we only had a 7% turnout or something like that for when Underlie got elected is because, like, we just had the 2020 election and people get exhausted. And so I also understand that there is room for some of these roles that are elected right now being appointed instead of elected. But then you have to step down when a new person is in charge and appoints a new person.
That's how things work, and they have always worked, and that's how things get done. That's how the machine continues going. That's how things like when you complain about how, oh, it took so long for them to process this thing. Well, do they have enough people? Do they have someone in office that wants to process this? Evers put out this new thing and it doesn't work because, well, there's not enough people to process it. Well, people were complaining about the unemployment.
That's where my mind went to.
Unemployment.
Which was a decades-old problem.
Yes.
And yes, I guarantee, because I remember following that story and... Was there enough attention from the Evers administration on that problem? No. Because I talked to guys who were, there's specifically an unemployment lawyer who works in Madison, and I talked to him about it because I wanted to do more, like a video on it back in 2020. And he said this is something that's been decades old. Like during the Walker administration, this whole department got turned upside down as far as how we process claims, and they process claims by assuming that you as an individual trying to seek unemployment is trying to cheat the system. So you're treated like a criminal as soon as you enter it.
Yeah.
And that didn't...
Just like Brett Favre did.
Big shock. That didn't scale well when the unemployment insurance... unemployment claims were blowing up because everyone who was working there was trained to treat everyone like they were trying to scam the system on top of a technology that was from, the 60s.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hamstringing. It's been hamstrung for a while, and then you complain about it and say, why didn't this get worked out? Well, nobody cared about it. My first thought after the 2016 election when Trump won, everyone was like, oh, how did this happen? I'm like, it honestly, at the time, I was like, it honestly really doesn't matter. Because most people can tell you who, Hillary Clinton is and who Donald Trump is, but they couldn't tell you who's on their school board. Most of them could barely tell you their teachers' names, let alone who the principal is. You know what I mean? Nobody knows who the mayor is or who their alder person is. Very few people do, and very few people even vote in those races, even if they have, they do the upper ballot, but they don't necessarily fill out the bottom because they don't know. Most people don't know those things. Those are the people that do your roads. Those are the people that salt your roads so you can drive out in the Wisconsin winters. Those are the people that make things run. And for the most part, it doesn't matter what party they're from, because at the end of the day, they have to turn the water on and off.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And most people don't know those things because, again, we have to live day to day in a capitalist society where we're expected to work 24/7 and we're supposed to, but then, you're tired after work and then you have to watch TV and you just don't have time to absorb
this
these
is
things.
Not as interesting as American Idol.
Exactly. And
I just want to watch people sing.
Yeah. And by the way,
Can you sing?
I can't. My brother can. My brother's an opera singer.
Really?
He's really good. And I can sing as other people really well. I can't sing as myself really well.
What does that sound like? Like you have to be doing an impression of someone to be on key?
Kind of, yeah. I guess I can do Kermit and I sing Benner as Kermit, but I actually hit notes that I wouldn't be able to hit with my regular voice. Mostly, it's probably confidence because I always had this thing about singing and stuff. But yeah.
All right.
What about Boris Badenov sings Bad Bad Leroy Brown?
Bad Bad Leroy Brown, baddest man in the whole damn town, bigger than the old King Kong, meaner than a junkyard dog. You see, he's a bad beat that Leroy Brown, but you understand that bad beat Leroy Brown, he has sensitive feelings inside. He doesn't want to always be bad, but sometimes everybody says you have to be bad because it is his job to go and, lay the law down in this town, so...
Brian Kelly, ladies and gentlemen, he is our guest all hour to recap things that are going on in Wisconsin news and politics. And we've been talking about kind of the bigger picture of Fred Prehn not stepping down from the DNR board and then his text messages that were released this week, basically confirming what I think a lot of us already knew, that this was a political move,
not a massive scale.
And it's just what I think there was an op-ed in Wisconsin Examiner this week that was basically like, what is it going to take for us to get over these petty partisan politics to actually get things done?
There's a reason why.
Because I don't see,
works.
I mean, even if let's fast forward to a month, 5 weeks from now, 6 weeks from now.
6 weeks from now, good luck with that.
And Tony Evers wins again.
Uh-huh.
Is it just four more years of all of this? Of just the, special sessions that last 13 seconds, nothing actually getting done, things getting sabotaged just to in the hopes that he looks like a failed governor. At what point would something actually change?
And by the way, isn't that what we're hoping for? Aren't we hoping
for
that? No, I mean, my point is isn't that the best case scenario at the end of the day here? Like, do you honestly think that there's enough, push? If they didn't spend as much on Evers and they spent it all down ballot and really tried to work to go and get the legislature pushed, how much if they put on a full-on assault, competed in every single race, up and down the ballot, how much of a push could you really make? Because again, gerrymandering works because people vote the same all the time. What is it going to take to move them across? Do we have to go door to door and say, look at this. Isn't this bad? Don't you want to change this? I mean, is that what it takes?
I don't know. It's a good question, but we can't answer it right now because we got to go to a break. We got one more segment with Brian Kelly before he drives off to Oshkosh to do more things that I don't understand. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Fighting for the South alone. Where have you been?
France.
We have to win.
Well, what did I miss?
What did I miss?
What did I miss?
I'm so old to this.
Head first into a political abyss.
Head first into the abyss.
I have my first cabinet meeting today. Think of something to say. I'm already on my way to get to the bottom of this.
What did I miss?
Mr. Jefferson, welcome home.
Mr. Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton.
Mr. Jefferson, welcome home.
Inside of City Hall, I slipped and had a terrible fall. Negligence on the part of a don't care who. So hard I was seeing stars, dollar signs, men from Mars, and the man who helped me up said I ought to sue. He was a lawyer. He was all out of breath. Well, once.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Fry. What was that, Jane?
That's Talk to My Lawyer by Chuck Brodsky.
Talk to My Lawyer.
Mm. Yeah.
All right.
We're talking about suing, right?
We are talking about suing. Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's a good. I see the association you're going for. We're here wrapping things up with Brian Kelly, Regional Operations Manager for Civic Media.
I'll take that.
That's his official title for right now. But he does a lot of things here. He's a producer. He is a host with Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian after this show. But I'm guessing you're not going to be on today's show.
No, it's William Walter today.
Oh, great.
He's filling in today and on Monday.
There you go.
Luke is out of town.
Luke is out of town. He also another person who does a lot of things at Civic Media.
Yeah.
And so that's the startup mentality of everyone wears lots of hats.
I have a giant head. He does too. And we have many hats for that one head.
Yep. And every day something gets solved.
Yeah,
but the list never gets shorter.
And it's never the thing you thought it was the beginning of the day.
Exactly. Well, we have a texter who had a question that we'll see if we can answer.
From the 715 wants to know, do political candidates get paid by their campaign to run for office?
So if I understand the question correctly, so read it one more time.
Do political candidates get paid by their campaign to run for office?
I think no. I mean, I think you can maybe give yourself a... So there's two different things. If you are an incumbent, so you have your salary that the government pays you, and technically you cannot campaign during... while you're working for the government.
Which is why they've...
Which is why they hang it up in March.
That's why they hung it up in March.
So if they had not done that, you need to separate time that you were doing campaign activities and time that you were on the clock for the government. Now...
Ask Scott Walker about that.
For the actual fundraising you do for your campaign, I do think you can give yourself a salary.
I don't know, honestly. The person who would know for sure is Matt Rothschild at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
You think he's listening right now? Hi, Matt.
He usually does. He's a fantastic dude.
Well, Matt, if you're listening right now, or if someone else who knows the answer to that question, I think you can, out of the money that you raise, you can give yourself a salary.
I guess at the end of the day, Kevin Nicholson, right?
Yep.
Ran for governor. His no better friend, he's got an office right down the street here. This guy ran for governor, and you could say dude never had a chance. I mean, from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, we never thought. And Timothy Ramphin, you know, we never had a chance. That dude was more of an ideologue and trying
to. I mean, he actually won the primary.
Who?
Joking.
I was going to say, no.
If you ask him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The point is, like, he ran on denying the election that he actually got elected in, which is funny. But my point is like, we knew that neither of them had any chance. But they raised a whole bunch of money. Like, Kevin Nicholson raised a lot of money. What's the point? What does that money do?
I mean, it sits in a war chest, right?
Go?
And then you're like,
does it?
I mean, because that was the whole thing of why he stepped out politically, because he's a young guy. And if he had, because now, I mean, supposedly him and Ron Johnson hate each other. Now, the headline this morning is that he's backing Ron Johnson or helping in one way or another. And so it's like the bigger political game, right? I would imagine. I don't, I have my my opinions, but I am not a political strategist. I don't work on the inside of the Democratic Party. I don't know how these things and the relationships and the you know, the favors and whose turn it is and all the stuff that you see on dramas of how these things works. I don't know how that works, but I can imagine that he's planning to run again for something, and so it sits in fund that is dedicated for Nicholson for Wisconsin.
His family maxed out to his opponent when he was running for Senate. His family maxed out to Tammy Baldwin. That's really all you need to know about Kevin Nicholson. His own family couldn't put partisan politics aside and give money to... They couldn't even just abstain, just so let's let our son run. No, they all gave all their money they could to Tammy Baldwin.
I didn't know that story.
Oh, yeah. Kevin Nicholson's family doesn't even want him to be in office. Like, but my point is that dude's out there, he's raising money and sloshing it around. And we all talk about, we got to get all the money out of politics. What are we doing to do that? We talked about it in the first segment. What is the budget for these things? How does this get broken down? Where does all that money go? How much money gets spent on ads? Does it all have to be spent on ads? Do you have to spend all this money at certain points? I mean, honestly, the general public, if we don't know the specifics of it, the general public definitely doesn't know. And again, you start going, well, this campaign raised this much money and this campaign raised this much money. Well, what does that mean to anybody? At the end of the day, it's just it turns people off and gets more cynical. For me, I think... that's the reason Donald Trump wins, because he comes out and says things that he's not talking political speak. He's not saying, well, we didn't lose as much as we suffered from an acute lack of winning. That's a political statement. You know what I mean? Like, what? Who? Just talk like a person. And to that effect, you were talking about, again, to sum up everything in the show again, we were talking about text and things. Well, for me, I have no shame. I don't care. I don't care what people, I mean, I care what people think of me to the extent, you know, I care what people think of me. But at the end of the day, if I made a mistake, yeah, I'll own up to it.
Yeah.
It's so much easier if you just own up to it and say, yeah, my bad, I did that wrong. I'll do it better next time. If I don't do it better next time, I'll feel even worse. But that's what people want. People don't want to, like, when I interview politicians, I want to ask them, okay, what was your big mistake? What did you learn from? What, give me, and they all hedge, every single one of them, even the people that I know that
it's
are like
in an interview and you're like, what would you say your greatest weakness is? I just work too hard.
Yeah, that type of stuff. And I think people are yearning for someone who has a little bit more of a real speak, enough to the point where they were like, Donald Trump seems great.
Well, and I think that's every once in a while you have someone who comes across that at least seemingly has that much confidence, security. You know, I think it seems like John Fetterman comes off in that way, that mm-hmm. he is who he is. I feel like one of the few politicians in this state that I feel like comes off that like that is Katie
Porter.
Yes, no, that's California. Katie and Wassa, Rosenberg.
Yes,
yeah.
You know, and I think she ran and she was so audaciously authentic, and she still remains to be so, that I think people just like her because she tells it like it is and she tries to get things done. But I think that is... I mean, it's hard to find people like that in general, let alone politicians.
But that's how you tune people in. Why? How many people watched the Big Brother finale the other day? I love Big Brother. It's fantastic. You know, it's reality TV, but people are... It's not like it's... People like authenticity, because in those reality shows, especially when you're isolated like that, after 2 weeks or so, you forget the camera's there and you really become who you really are, and you start acting like yourself even more so. And that's what turns people on. And we complain about the Kardashians. We complain about, oh, they're all popular and everything. Well, you know why? Because as much as they go and fake themselves out, they're actually kind of showing you people want to be brought in behind the scenes. People want to see the genuine versions of them. Even if it's a fake version of them that they're offering, my point is people want to see the reality.
You don't really believe the Kardashians are authentic.
It's the idea that they're being brought into the authenticity. That's what turns people on. That's what I'm saying. It's the idea that they're, yes, they're selling their authenticity, but that's what is turning people onto them.
All right. Now I now realize why your show is called Dueling Tangents, because we didn't even get to the last topic that we were going to talk about the Wisconsin GOP suing Milwaukee. So maybe we'll talk about it a little bit when we come back. Otherwise, we're going to do the only day that we're talking about Jeffrey Dahmer is today. So stay tuned for that. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me and let me go off.
Have a good drive. We'll see you next week. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.